Do you ever have different kind of movie scenes or visuals that come about when you're experiencing some kind of feeling? Now, I do from time to time, and one of those is the opening scene from the 1993 movie Cliffhanger, starring Sylvester Stallone in a very unrealistic climbing accident to begin the movie and the trauma that's never resolved, but whatever, right? In an instant, things go wrong for this rescue climbing team and life begins to happen in slow motion. There are times in life where I feel something slipping through my fingertips and feel like I am living that scene, but with the experiences that I'm going through right then. Have you ever had moments like that of loss where you can almost feel, whether it be the people or relationships or opportunities or dreams, just slipping through your fingers in like slow motion? It's hard. It stinks. And left just kind of ignored or put on the back burner, it's not healthy. And so this week we're continuing on with our Finding God in the Mess series. And the big picture of this series is that God often shows up and does incredible things when we're going through some of life's hardest and biggest messes. There are times when we can ignore God when things are going well, but I really believe that C.S. Lewis says it best when he wrote the following in his book, The Problem of Pain. We can ignore pleasure, but pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in the pleasures, speaks to our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. That's powerful, right? And true, at least as I've encountered it. While loss isn't easy or welcome, God works in, among, and through seasons of loss. No matter what kind of loss that we are encountering, though, settling for platitudes and quick fix sayings shortchanges God and ourselves. But we'll get to a little bit more about that in a bit. For now, I really want to check in on our guide for this series, who is the prophet Elijah. And so just to kind of refresh your memory from last week, Elijah is a spokesman for God in about the 9th century BCE or so. He lives in the northern kingdom, and his primary message was to call the people of God back to worshiping God and only God. You see, they, like so many of us, get distracted and began to worship other deities, especially the deity Baal. And so when we met Elijah, he came onto the scene for the very first time. He was in a season of great need. He had to rely on a widow and her son. And the fact that he had to rely on one of the most unlikely people for his help was not lost on him. And so I'm sure that there was a fair amount of swallowing the pride to ask for help. But at the end of the day, he saw that it couldn't have been anything but God that got him through that season. God kind of does that, takes away all explanations, all of our pride, and then boom, all of a sudden we recognize there's no other explanation than it had to be God. And so today our scripture picks up kind of where we left off last time, and it seems like immediately afterwards, though there is some time that goes by, that now there is this season of loss as the widow's son who had cared for Elijah has died. Now, here we begin to see this kind of progression of how we might begin to see God in a season of loss. So the first thing that we see is the pain and the emotion expressed by the widow and then by Elijah. First off, she blames him. Man of God, you came, you did all of these things, and what do you do? My son's lost now. And so she points to him, Elijah points to God, right? God, why have you done this? But there is this real and tangible and like bone-crushing emotion that we see. When you enter into a season of loss, be honest with God about that loss. Name the loss for what it is and let the cry of your heart come out, maybe from the depths of who you are, the longing, the groaning, everything, right? It's okay to be angry with God. When we look throughout the poetry of the Psalms and the songbook of the Bible, we see these powerful, what we call lament psalms. Psalm 6 and Psalm 13 are great examples. When the author asks, God, how long are you going to be hidden from me? The psalmists know what it is to be hurt and to name it. Because when it goes unnamed, when we put up walls and hold stuff back from God, it's so hard to hear what God is saying that we have to feel like we're pretending. We don't have to pretend with God. We can be honest. We can be open about all of our feelings. We can take it to God. Now, I know that this might seem like a simple point in the context of our scripture today, but remember, loss comes in all flavors, right? A loss of a job or a relationship, rejection from a school or a sports team, in addition to the loss of a family member or someone that we really love. Like, naming the loss and how we feel about it is a huge part about letting God come into the mess, into this season of loss. And so first, we just start by naming that loss and our feelings. Second thing that we see the widow do is after her son dies, she then goes and relies and trusts Elijah. Now, we talked about this last week, where we're not made to do life alone, right? And so last week we saw that Elijah's dependence on the widow in a season of need, and now she comes to him in a season of loss. Like there's this mutual kind of joining together, and loss can be isolating. It can be a foothold for all kinds of things to creep in. This includes, you know, depression or self-destructive behaviors. And what we have to remember is that loss and relying on others is not weakness or failure. And so we don't let that loss isolate us. And we encourage you to find a friend, find a support group or a therapist who can help you through this season of loss or whatever loss you are encountering. Elijah was a real gift to that widow. And a counselor might be a gift to you in your season of loss. You know, the platitude that God won't give you more than you can handle is just plain wrong. It makes the person saying it feel better, but it doesn't do anything besides you feel worse as the recipient of that, right? There are times where we encounter loss, and it's not because you didn't have enough faith or you didn't pray hard enough. So reach out to the people that God has placed on your path, because we can get through it together. God is journeying with you together. We just rely on others in our time of loss. And finally, though, we see something special happen when Elijah begins to act. He starts to make a bold stride towards God's preferred future, and it's a new future, right? Loss is hard many times because it closes off avenues of our future that we were looking forward to. And at that point, we have a choice to make. Loss changes our future. And so we need to look then at what a new future must be or might be. If we only pursue what could have been and we get stuck looking in the rearview mirror or the possibilities that can never be again, it's really hard to get out of the grieving and the loss. However, when we reorient ourselves to a new future, life might begin to look hopeful again. No, it won't be the same. And it's not trying to be or replacing, but it might be hopeful. Elijah copes with the loss of the widow's son in a way that he doesn't get stuck, but he moves in a new vision of what could be possible. And he persists about it. Three times he throws himself on the son, and he finally comes back to life. It hadn't been done before. It was a big ask, but at the same time, it was something new. Your new vision of the future might not be bringing someone back from the dead. Mine hasn't been. But it could be bringing new life back to your weary soul. In seasons of loss, we are able to focus our eyes to see God more fully if we're honest about our loss, if we accept the help of others and the support that they offer us and move towards a new future. It doesn't invalidate the old vision of what might to come, but rather it is something new all in of itself. But perhaps the most comforting thing in seeing God in seasons of pain is that God has been there before. And you know, it gives me comfort to know that God's been there before, rather than a God that just sets creation into motion like a pocket watch and then just watches from a distance, right? And moreover, I have faith in the resurrection. And a God who leads through seasons of loss to hope and a new life, because Jesus shows us that the worst thing that the world throws the worst at him, the worst pain, the worst humiliation, the worst isolation, and yet it doesn't get the final word. Jesus shows us that the worst thing is never the last thing. In a season of loss, in a season of disorientation, I know that it brings me great comfort to be able to see God going alongside of me, reminding me that the worst thing is never the last thing. Let's pray. God of grace, no matter what form our loss comes in, our hardship comes in, it seems like we have loss and feelings to spare. That we are overflowing, God, and sometimes we can get consumed and spun up in that loss and not looking around to see where you might be acting. Allow us, God, to come before you, to really honestly name and be faithful in sharing with you how we're feeling, to see the people in our path that you have placed there and that are willing to help us take that burden of the loss so that we might then see a new future and a new hope. God of wonders, we also give you thanks for your son, Jesus, who has walked this path, who has experienced this loss, and who knows what it is to be fully human with all of the experiences and encounters, and also the tears that are shed from that loss. God, thank you for journeying with us and allowing us to lean on you and finding community so that we might then find that hope in a future of a new day dawning. God, it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.